message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah and Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
My mind is receptive. Today, I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly declare that I'm a doer and I'm blessed indeed.
Say this after me, the word of God is working for me.
I receive revelation in the knowledge of God, in the face of Jesus. The eyes of my understanding is enlightened. I am blessed. I am blessed. Glory to God. Joy in the city. Glory! Woo! Shout amen, somebody. You know, the Bible says when Philip was in the city of Samaria, he preached Christ and there was joy in the city. I want to welcome you all to Cornerstone Christian Center, Abuja. Glory to God. All right. It's a place where friends meet friends, family meet families, and we all together meet Jesus. Glory to God. And so we are glad the Abuja church has kicked off. Amen. And just like when Philip got to Samaria and he preached, that was the scripture God gave to me. He said when Philip got to Samaria, there was joy in that city. He told me, "Sister, when you get to Abuja, there will be joy in that city." Amen. Amen. We have come. I said, we have come. I said, we have come. Yes, glory to God. Amen. Amen. Let's go quickly into the anchor scripture for the theme for this month. The book of Acts, chapter number 8. Acts, chapter number 8. Acts, chapter number 8. Glory to God. And I want to read to you. In Acts, chapter number 8 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Then Philip went to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Verse 6, "And the people with one accord gave heed unto these things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." Oh, there's going to be miracles today. Amen. "Hearing and seeing those miracles which he did." And verse 7 says, "For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed." Then verse 8 says, "And there was great joy in that city." By the word of the Lord, we have come to Abuja. And because we have come with the news of God's saving power, because we have come to preach Christ, we declare joy in the city.
Amen.
Amen. But I have a personal ambition, in quotes, a personal goal in Abuja. And it is to partner with you for your furtherance, for your advancement and your joy in the faith. That's my personal aim. That's my personal goal. Philippians 1 and verse 25, you got to see the submission of a pastor after he built a church in Philippi. He says, "And having this confidence," do you know why I get so emotional about the book of Philippians? Because Paul was in the prison when he was writing this letter. He was in the prison, in the cold prison floor, when he ought to be tormenting and murmuring about, "Oh, mosquitoes beat me. Oh, they didn't give me nice food in this place." No, he was going to write to the church. And then he was saying, "Hey, I know that I am in between two. Either to go be with the Lord, which is far better, or to stay back." He says, "But I choose to stay back for your furtherance." That means the Greek word is prokope. It means for your advancement, for your spiritual growth. And he says, "And for your joy in the faith." So that means Paul intended to see their spiritual growth and their growth in their joy life. Now, it's so sad that in our day, or in most churches, we emphasize spiritual growth. But we have come to, you know, be negligent of the fact that joy is as much important. In fact, joy is a proof of an impactful ministry. If you keep going to a church consistently, and that's why, you see, he says he wants for their joy. He wants their spiritual growth, their advancement. The Greek word is prokopē. It's the same Greek word translated as profiting in 1 Timothy 4 verse 15. It says, meditate upon these things that thy profiting may appear unto all. The word profiting there is prokopē. It means advancement. It means increase. It means progress. So I am here for your progress. Glory to God. I have come by the power of the Spirit for your progress and your joy in the faith. Don't forget, progress, growth is discernible. There are three things about growth. Growth is measurable. Growth is discernible. And growth is deliberate. If you see a 2-year-old child and a 10-year-old child, all things being equal, you're going to know the difference, isn't it? You can measure growth. That means by the time you begin to come weekly like this, in the next 1 month, you should be able to ask yourself, 2 months, 3 months, you should be draw the graph of your spiritual growth. You should be able to ask yourself, what have I learned new? Or how have I better understood all I've always known? How has this church blessed me? You should be able to draw the graph of your spiritual growth. Growth is not static. It's not an abstract ideology. It's measurable. You can see it. It's visible. And one of the great pointers to growth is joy. Do you know why? Because joy is something that you ought to exude, that you ought to produce, that you ought to show forth whenever you hear the good news. You know what separates you from an unbeliever? 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3 to 4, he says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Because Satan, the god of this world, has blinded their eyes, lest they should see the glorious gospel. So, the unbeliever can't see glory, he can't see beauty in the gospel. But you, because you are born again, because the veil has been taken away, when you hear the gospel, you rejoice. You are like David. He says, when your word went unto me, like somebody who found a great spoil. Message Bible says, like somebody who found great bounty. So when you hear the word of God, it produces a new joy. When you hear about your sins are forgiven, you don't go, No! When you hear your sins are forgiven, you go, glory to God! You rejoice! You rejoice! The gospel. And that's one of the ways you would know. You have to also draw your joy life graph. When you attend the meeting the first time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, you should be able to draw your graph and say, hey, has my joy life increased? Because if you are listening or you are hearing something that makes you see your insufficiencies, that makes you see how that you are nothing, how that you don't have enough, how that they measure you about based on what you have or don't you have, and you get more depressed, then you know you listen to the gospel. It's not the gospel. The gospel should produce joy in you. Glory to God. So Paul says he desires their progress and their joy in the faith. Glory to God. You know, I was sharing with somebody recently. I said, how did Jesus really preach the gospel? How did he preach it? All the time Jesus preached the gospel, do you know how he preached it? You hear him say things like, the kingdom of God is like unto a man who has a wedding. And he's calling forth for people to come to the wedding. So, Jesus never preached the gospel to make anybody feel insufficient. He always preached the gospel telling them the goodies, the bounties. He says, go to the concourses, go to the main road and bring the lame. He says, bring the hurt, bring the depressed and they shall be healed. He says, bring them in. And he says, Master, it is filled. He says, stretch the curtain, get more chairs, bring them in. He says, go tell them that all things are ready.
Glory.
That's how Jesus always preached the gospel. You hear him say things like, the kingdom of God is like unto a man that finds a treasure. And for joy, he wants to sell all that he has for that same seed, for that same thing he saw, so as to buy it. Don't forget, he says he's a merchant man. Merchant man is an old King James way of saying a business mogul. So this man's got some business intelligence. And yet, the Bible says Jesus reckons our salvation as that treasure that the merchant man saw. And in his merchant intelligence, in his business intelligence, went to sell all that he has to purchase that thing. What does that tell you? That tells you that merchant man understood that all that he has is worth selling off to go for that treasure. And that treasure is your salvation. No wonder Jesus could walk up and said, what shall it profit a man if he owns the whole world and loses his own soul? Because what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, the whole world put together. Do you understand what Jesus is saying? He says, what shall it profit a man if he owns the whole world? Listen, owning the whole world is quite a feat. Do you know the richest man recently, 3 days ago? Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon. Is worth $200 billion. That's not the whole world. Do you know what it means to have the whole world? That means they are going to, all the money in Asian banks, they liquidate it and transfer it to your account. All the money in American bank, if you know anybody who works in bank, they know what I'm talking about. All the money in UBA, what we're talking about, all the money in Central Bank of Nigeria, all the money, they liquidate it and transfer it to your account. All the money in Africa, in Asia, in the United States of America, there are two continents in the United States of America, you got to know that. In Europe, they transfer everything to your account. It says it's still not enough to buy your safe soul. Hey, you got something, brother. I said, you got something, sister. I said, you got something. Shout at me. He said, it's not worth it. No wonder Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1 from verse 17 down to 19. He says, for you were not purchased with corruptible things like gold and silver, but the blood of Jesus, which is without spots, glory to God. And that's metaphoric. Blood of Jesus means the death of Jesus. Doesn't mean that red thing coming out of your vein. You know, some people drink Zobo, they think they're taking the communion. You know, listen, the blood of Jesus means the death of Jesus. It's metaphoric. So when he says you were bought by the death of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, what he means is, hey, Jesus gave his life to get yours. Come on now, you know little how the magic. If you go to wherever you go to, maybe a shopping mall, when you give money, money is simply a leg tender, right? When you want to purchase an item and you give a certain amount of money, so what did you do? What you're basically doing is you are giving the monetary equivalent of the item you want to possess. So you got to the shelf and you saw a bread. The bread cost 1,200 naira. You got your 1,200 naira with you. You like it. You don't want to give it to nobody, but you like the bread. You want to take the bread. But they say it's 1,200, but you got 1,200. So here's your 1,200 with you. You got the bread. Now you want to take the bread? You have your 1,002. If you want to take the bread, you got to drop your 1,002. If you don't want to take the bread, you keep your 1,002. But you want the bread. So you put your 1,002 and you take the bread. So God likes you. He wants you. He got his son. He said, oh, but I want you. But I love my son. But I want you. So I left my son and pick you up. Listen, that means your value is Christ. Because that's whom he gave to get you. Glory to God. Romans 14 verse 17. That's why I say it. It's wrong for a Christian to be depressed. It's wrong. What have you been listening to? Romans 14 verse 17. He says, for the kingdom of God is not in meat, is not in drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you see, our primary aim in Abuja and in all of our extensions throughout the world, because it's from Abuja to the ends of the head. I say it's from Abuja to the ends of the head. Amen. One of our major aim actually, is to help everyone to see the surpassing delight of Christ above all else. We want you to see the surpassing delight of Christ above all else. So that it becomes a source of inspiration for your joy. And that's the reason why a lot of people have the graph of their joy life skewed. Why? Because they have committed an evil. Jeremiah called it evil. Jeremiah 2:13. He says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have gone to hew for themselves cisterns that can't hold no water. That's the metaphoric way of saying, listen, God is saying, listen, I am the fountain of water. I alone can give satisfaction. Every other source you look out for satisfaction, he says it is vain. In other words, nothing can satisfy. Nothing can satisfy. It's the cup that don't run dry. Nothing else can satisfy. That was what Jesus was telling that woman. He says, if you know the gift of God and who is he that is speaking with you, you will ask him to give you water. And you will thirst no more. You won't need to come here anymore. You must say, really? You mean I won't have to come here and draw from any water anymore? Come on, give it to me now. And Jesus says, hey, the water I will give you will be in you, springing forth rivers unto everlasting life. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we want to help you see the surpassing delight. You see, why this is important? We live in the world. Can I be honest with you? The world, as it were, will not get better. The economic system, wherever... Listen, the world was never... The system of the world was never designed to get better. Don't be deceived. You have to know that. These are perilous times. Jesus in Matthew 16 verse 33, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. He said it. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. 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 So there's a training for you. There's a training for you in this world. And the training is to help you reposition yourself for a joy life. Hallelujah. So, what are we saying? That Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose up on the third day. Somebody's wondering, so how does that put food on my table? How does that help me? How? The Bible says in the book of James 1 and verse 2, it says, count it all joy when you are faced with diverse tests and trials. It says, for the trying of your faith, worketh patience. It says, but let this patience have its perfect work, that you might be entire, wanting nothing. It says, count it all joy. Amen. So, we got something. Something more than gold. We got something. Something bigger than money. We got something. The joy of the Holy Ghost in us. Yes, you wake up with the money and you go, take it, brother. That's the witness that the Holy Ghost is inside you. He gives you utterance. Yes. He lives in you. Yes. Guess what? There is no fear of afterlife. Because now you have a hope of immortality. Yes. Are you hearing me? Yes, what else again is bigger than this, brother? What else? He says he has put the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. Don't you understand? 1 Timothy 6 and verse 14 down to 16. Apostle Paul says to the King of Kings, the eternal God, who alone has immortality. Nobody has experienced immortality. Not Enoch, not Elijah, nobody. Only God has immortality. And he has promised to give us that immortality. And it's part of the package you received at salvation. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10, it says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So when you heard the gospel and you believed, you receive eternal life. And that premise becomes the hope of your immortality. That means you're going to change this body. We're going to be together with him. So now that means as a Christian, you get to a point where what inspires your joy is no longer ephemeral things. You're just happy. Somebody say, why are you happy? Is it because you bought a new car? Yeah, I got a new car, but it's not it. But something bigger. Do you understand the twist? Amen. Glory to God. You know, some people, they like to think, give me Jesus, take the world. Mm-mm, he owns the world. Listen, the point we're trying to say is this. It's simple. The point is, we have it, but that thing doesn't have us.
Listen, we're going to be rich. I say we're going to be rich. Say, I'm going to have untold wealth. Do you understand? I've been talking this way since I was a kid. I'm going to have a lot of money. A lot of it. I'm going to have a lot of it. But that money isn't going to have me. That money isn't going to have me. Because I have something bigger than the money. Glory to God. So because I have trained myself to realize that my source of joy is not an ephemeral things. So even when the ephemeral things comes, it doesn't shake me. That's the training that we are putting you through. Philippians 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to give you a few facts about joy quickly, then we close. It's just a short charge. But I believe you're getting blessed already. Amen. Just a few facts about joy. Number one, joy is not circumstantial. Situation and circumstances doesn't determine it. Because you see, don't you forget Galatians 5 mentions one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. So when we are saying you should live a joyful life, it's not something you're trying to muster out from the blues. It's right there in your spirit. It's right there in your spirit. You just have to let it out. It's out there. Glory to God. Open to Habakkuk, an Old Testament prophet. I want to read something to you from the book of Habakkuk. Quite interesting. Habakkuk 3, that book you have never opened to before. Some people are like, Habakkuk, where is it? It's right there. Habakkuk 3. And I want you to listen to this thing. Habakkuk 3, and verse 17. He says, oh boy. Look at it. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Verse 18 says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He now says, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hind feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high place. So now I'm born again. This is no longer futuristic. I make it my present hour truth. And I begin to say it. He has made my feet like the hind feet. Oh, glory to God. He has given me stability. That's what it means. I have stability like the hind feet. And you know, one of the things about our generation is that we live in a generation where people's faith are so fickle. There are people that, I was telling somebody, there are people that, Christians, you know, they call it microwave Christianity. Jehovah Sharp Sharp. They're giving him some different names. You know, so we, and that's what Jesus said. He said, if Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? The context is clear. What was the context in Luke 18? He was giving the parable of a woman who was disturbing an unjust judge and saying, avenge me of my adversaries. And the judge refused to answer her, but she kept on asking, avenge me of my adversaries. And Jesus was, you know, it's a parable. Jesus now said, wow. If the Son of Man comes, in verse 7, Luke 18, shall he find faith? So what is faith there in context? Tenacity, persistency, consistency. That means doing the same thing with the hope that you get better. Much more with the understanding that you already have the real thing. Knowing that nothing in this world is worth crying about. Nothing in this world is worth depressing you. Nothing, absolutely nothing. For us to live is Christ. And when we grow old, to die again is what? Is gain. We lose nothing. Do you understand? It's a win-win for the man in Christ. Do you understand? It's a win-win for us. Hallelujah. Man, I told myself, you know, I'll set it again. I will never settle for less. I will never settle for less. I'm born again. What? God lives in me. Do you know sometimes when I think about me having the Holy Ghost in me? Get me high. Like I'm drunk on vodka. And I feel like, boy, I got the Holy Ghost in me. That's the biggest thing. Don't you understand? God has set his headquarters in me. I have become the household of God, the residence of God. Boy, what can be better than this? What a life. What a life. So that's why when I see people of other religion, other race, it doesn't matter what natural or financial acumen or financial bounty, no matter how big their account is, when I see them, I pity them. Do you know why? Because I got something. I got something. Eternal life. Eternal life. Do you understand what it means? To have the God kind of life. A hope of immortality. Listen, this is enough to inspire joy. So joy is not circumstantial. Number two, this is even very simple, and I'm not going to dwell much on this because this is not a medical class. All right, scientifically it has been proven that joy impacts on your well-being. All right, medical research shows that over 80% of diseases are psychosomatic. That means 80% of the diseases in the world, they are related to the state of your soul. I was studying some materials one time and they said when you worry, you are anxious, bitter, and all of that, it increases a particular chemical they call cortisol, and that increases your risk to terrible disease. Well, true or not true, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 18 and verse 22, it says, a merry heart doeth good like what? Medicine. But the broken spirit does what? Dry the bones. Can you see that? In Proverbs 17:22, then in Proverbs 18:14, it says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Glory to God. I don't want to dwell on that. Amen. I want to end with this. Listen, joy is a pointer to faith. It's okay for everyone to rejoice when they have something, or maybe they got an alert on their account or something. But we're talking about joy in the faith. Joy of faith. Joy because of faith. You're just happy and you're wondering, what is happening to you? What did not happen to you this morning? And you're like, I'm going to walk out. What did you do this morning? Madam, what did they worry you this morning now? You don't eat lotto. I'll be waiting. Saying, what did happen to you, madam? You don't build house. Yeah, I don't build house, but not because of the house. Are you hearing me? Because it means, Pastor, why are you happy this morning? You don't buy jets. Yeah, I don't buy jets, but not because of the jets. Not because of the jets. It's something bigger. Amen. Glory to God. Wow. I got a life. Glory to God. It's a pointer to faith. Pointer to faith. You remember Romans 4? Verse 17, the Bible says, before him, talking about Abraham, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things that be not as though they were. He says, he considered not his own body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was, you know, what was he doing? He was strong in faith, doing what? Giving glory to God. He was rejoicing. Many years ago, I was listening to a Singaporean preacher, and he says that there are only two places in the Synoptic Gospel where Jesus gave thanks to pray over a situation, and it turned out to be one of the greatest miracles. At the tomb of Lazarus, and in the feeding of the 5,000 men. There's a disciple, Philip, says, hey, what is this among so many? How can you have 5,000 men apart from women and children? And you have just few loaves of bread and fishes. So he says,
Well, we have a lad's lunch. It was the lad's lunch. That means that lad came without to eat. You know, when you're sending a child to school, you give him a lunch pack. It was the child's lunch pack. So they said, what is this among so many? But the Bible says, and Jesus gave thanks. Guess what? The Holy Ghost later, in two chapters afterwards, was going to refer to that place, and he says, where the Lord gave thanks. To remind us that the giving thanks there was very important. So this woman was telling Jesus, if you had come now, my brother would not have died. Jesus said, no problem, let's go. Don't forget, at first when he came to tell him that your friend is sick, he says, that sickness is not unto death. Somebody say confession.
Confession.
Yeah. He said, that sickness is not unto death. So he got about his business. And when the guy was dead, 4 days. Hey, do you understand microbiology? 4 days, the body was already putrefying. The Bible says, by now, the disciple says, by now he stinketh. Maybe King James is not doing you good. Go and read other translations. That means by now he's decay, he's rusticating. I mean, he's putrefying. Smells. And Jesus told the sister, he says, hey, do you know that your brother is going to rise up? He says, yeah, I know, on the day of resurrection. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. See, a lot of people are carried away by the miracle, but Jesus actually preached the greatest miracle message there, that I am the resurrection and the life. And he demonstrated it by saying, listen, I have life that I can give that will never die. We are never die gang. Do you understand?
Yes,
never die gang.
Yes,
do you understand?
Yes,
we only change position. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is our joy. Shout amen, somebody. Glory to God. Amen. Can you see that? And when he got there, he didn't say, Lassie, please come out, Lassie. No! Jesus got there. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And the guy came up like this. And he says, unbind him, loose him, and let him go. Glory to God. The Pharisees says, with authority, speak. No man. They sent soldiers to pick him one time, and they saw the soldiers came to pick him, and they sat down to listen to him. They went back to their boss and says, no man ever spoke like this man. Oh, I'd like to be like Jesus, for he spoke with authority. Listen to me. I'm addressing two things. This meeting is prophetic. Listen. Klinger Hoftis Ketnos Kubrahats. Kreshto Suni Hanglik Tefrekito. In 21 days, said the Lord, all those situations will buckle before you.
Amen.
So says the Spirit of God.
Amen.
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 Listen. What I just want to conclude today is to let you know that joy is something you've got to practice. You have to find the embers. You have to find the embers. It's a pointer to faith. And guess what? Can I even be honest with you? Because you might be thinking, Pastor, you've been telling me about the eternal verities, that things God has done for me. How does it put food to my table? I'll tell you. How does this change my situation? And I'll tell you. Time will fail me to show you. In the book of Samuel, in 1 Samuel 2, the Bible says, you know, you all know the story of Anna, right? She was without a child. She's been sorrowful all the while. But the Bible tells us, and Anna prayed and said, my heart rejoiced in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. She's been sorrowful all this while, but now she has chosen to rejoice. If you go to verse 9, look at what is happening. She began to prophesy. He will keep the feet of his saint, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For thy strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his. What? She was already prophesying. Listen to me. By the grace of God, I'm a prophetic vessel. And I can tell you categorically that joy opens your channels of the prophetic. Joy. Don't forget, it's one of those forces that emanate from your heart. Issues of the heart. That's why God says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the forces, issues, the wellspring, what the Bible calls it, the wellspring of life. Joy is one of them. If that seems a little bit unclear, in 1 Samuel 2 verse 1, alright, okay, now again in Luke 1:46, the Bible says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. If you begin to read from verse 48 down to 55, she was already prophesying. I call it streams of prophecy. Listen, joy opens you up to prophecy. Somebody say, so what are you saying, Pastor? How does this put food on my table? That's what I'm telling you. That if you rejoice, it will open up your spirit and you begin to declare words. It is those words that change things. You know, science is thinking now that they have had a breakthrough. You know, my computer, for example, it can be voice activated. All right. So that's their latest technology. Wow. They are so intelligent. After 2,000 years. What's 2,000 years? After many years before 2,000 years that Jesus came. We already read in the book of Genesis, which archaeologists claim to have been sometime around 6,000 years. We already read in Genesis that this sound that they are just finding out, God already employed that technology long time. Spoke to sea, fish come out. What fish came out? That means they all have intelligence. I mean, Jesus spoke to wind. Jesus spoke to sea. Jesus spoke to infirmities. Everything has ears. Did you hear what I said? So some people were going to break down a wall, and all they did was to shout. What are you talking about? It's not coincidence that by the advent of the Spirit in the book of Acts was by the sound. So on the day of Pentecost, sound. Somebody say sound. I will do a teaching of this on sound and spirit. Sound and sight. You have to understand. So Jacob took the blessing of Esau. Do you understand what the Bible says? The Bible says that, and when Jacob was going to go back to their papa, says the blessing. And then he says, hey, your brother has taken your blessing. Hey, I don't understand. What do you mean taking your blessing? Did he take his ATM card? What did he take? Just words. And he says, bless me at least. He says he has taken it. That means words are not ordinary. Do you know why words look like sound to many Christians, like something that does not matter? It's because they've not trained their spirit to recognize the importance of the spirit. The importance of the spirit of those words. So when you get to a place where joy excites your spirit, You rejoice. Of a sudden, you pray in the Spirit. You begin to declare words of power. Those words are prophecy. They change things. That's the way it works. It's nothing magic. That you are facing a situation and you are admonished to rejoice. It's because as you rejoice that way, your spirit reaches a crescendo where you begin to declare words of power. It is those words that change things. It's those words that change things. Hallelujah. I will live my life rejoicing. I will always rejoice in the God of my salvation. Joy in the faith. Joy because of the faith. So what does that tell you? That means you have two wings. You win all the time. You are rejoicing because of the faith, because of what Christ has done. And while you are there rejoicing, the challenge of your spirit opens up, you declare words, and now it now changes the situation. So you win either ways. That's why Jesus says, who amongst you can add a cubit meter to his height by worrying? Do you know what worry does? It shall secure the power of God at work for you. Because the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3 verse 20, the Bible tells us abundantly clear. It says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. That means to the degree, the capacity of your mental psychology determines the experiences in your life. So that means what worrying does is worries magnifies the problem and short-circuits the power of God at work in your life. Makes your mind unproductive. So instead of worrying, why not rejoice? Because your rejoicing is based on what Christ has done. And while you are there rejoicing, what happens? Utterance is given you, and you still change the thing. So that means you win either ways. It's a win-win. That's why I tell you, nothing can discomfit us. Are you hearing me? Nothing can stop us. We're taking the world with the gospel. We are unstoppable. Amen. We are playing our part in God's final work for this end time. We're reaching the world with the gospel. We are unstoppable. 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 Indestructible. Unbeatable. I cannot be beaten down. You talk that way. I redefine the standard. I challenge the status quo. I change the norm. I raise the dike. I run through troops. I cannot be hindered. I am indestructible. I cannot be beaten down. I'm strong. I'm healthy. The Lord is my strength. You talk that way. When you talk that way, you see, your body system begins to adjust. Begin to adjust. Begin to adjust. But when you keep saying, this my headache has come again. Who gave it to you? What do you mean by my headache? It's not yours. Reject it. Refuse it. This is the life we've been called to live. I said, this is the life we've been called to live. I was talking to a lady recently. She just got engaged. She's a pastor friend. She's about 37. All through the time, they've been telling her, you don't the hood now. It doesn't show now, but she looks like 25. She was just enjoying herself. But some people, they are just 25. When are you going to marry? When are you going to marry? The thing has shown real cool. Do you know some people, they are older than their age? Not because they are not feeling well. They have worried, and so when you squeeze their face, you know when you squeeze something for so long, the skin too lost elasticity and remain like that. So they now start buying mascara, what do you call that thing? Repel worries. Say this after me, I'm full of joy. Rise on your feet. Lift your hands towards heaven. Just appreciate him. Just appreciate him. Just thank him. Just thank him. Just thank him. Just thank him. We have something bigger than gold. Something more than gold. Something more than gold. Something more than gold. Joy in the faith. Joy because of faith. Joy because of faith. Something more than gold. Something more than gold. Something more than gold. Something more than God. Something more than God. Something more than God. Thank you, Lord. Is anything too hard for me? Is he ever too late?
for me. Whatever it is I am,
come on.
I'm forever the same. Chanta, I am God and I never fail. Chanta, Chanta.
It's a win-win for us. We are thankful. Thank you for the greatest gift of eternal life. We rejoice in this. And as we rejoice, yet we still win in the things affairs of life. Because worlds are giving us and we change situation. We cause things to conform in our desires by the force of faith. Thank you, Father. Father, we give you praise. We adore you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can I be honest with you? You are great people. You know, can I be honest with you? I always see greatness. Anytime I stand to minister to you folks, I just see greatness. I pray for you. That the Lord will let you see. I pray for you tonight. For some of you here, God is going to do a surgery on your mind. So that you will see that big, great things that lie before you. Don't let anxiety, don't let situation overwhelm you. No. No. The thought he has towards you, they are thought of peace. Not of evil, to give you an expected end and a future. Were you blessed? Were you blessed? Come on, rejoice! Rejoice! Come on!
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.